please the Court, Jeremy Ellman for Appellant Walmart. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of rebuttal time. Like this Court stated in Lowry, this case will likely make the average person's head shake in disbelief. And I'm also reminded of our recent conversation that you had about Walmart in the last discussion. This dispute is over four lamps sold by a vendor named Sunsea Grocery in April and May of 2019 on Walmart.com. Despite knowing these facts, Ms. Russell and her attorney sought nearly $1 million in damages, plus punitives through a 7-count complaint. Ms. Russell had a low degree of success at the trial. She lost on 4 of the 5 narrow claims based on Walmart's meritorious defenses, and she was awarded only 5 to 10% of the copyright claims for a total of $75,000 in statutory damages or $27,000 in actual damages. Despite getting mere fractions of what she sought, the district court awarded Ms. Russell's attorneys $1.5 million, or 90% of their overall fees. As stated in the seminal Hensley case that the court referred to in the prior ruling, the result is what matters. The jury got it right. The district court got it wrong. The district court's disproportional award of 20 times the damages.
I'm sorry, I thought you thought the jury got it wrong. At least with respect to the copyright claims.
Absolutely, Your Honor. Yes, we are maintaining both. We do think the jury got it wrong as to the copyright infringement. But as far as the degree of success, if we do move on both grounds that the copyright infringement ruling should be reversed, as well as the fees. But what's most egregious here, and what I wanted to address in my time here at first, was that the jury got it right about $75,000. So it would be an extreme departure from established case law and would not further the purposes of the Copyright Act to award plaintiff's counsel $1.5 million when they were only awarded $75,000. So I'd like to focus on those 2 points. First, we do in a de novo review, believe that the court should reverse the jury's copyright infringement finding because Sunsea, the third party that sold the four lamps, they committed the volitional acts of distributing and displaying the copyright works.
Okay, can I ask you, I think it is, for me at least, useful to distinguish between the claims based on the display of photographs on the website and the claims based on the actual sale of the physical product, because I think the analysis might be different with respect to those. So if I could ask you to address the sale of the lamps themselves, the jury heard evidence that the listing said that they were sold and shipped by Walmart, and there was evidence, I think, in the agreement with the vendor that Walmart would take title to the lamps and designated how they were shipped. Why isn't that evidence enough to allow the jury to infer that you were actually doing the sale? And that's enough of a volitional act.
Because the sold and shipped by label is just a marketing disclosure by Walmart to ensure the customer that they can come to Walmart post-sale. To your question, Judge Miller, the distribution was undisputedly done by Sunsea. They sent it from their warehouse in Rancho Cucamonga directly to the four customers, including to my friend on the other side. So the distribution was undisputedly done by Sunsea.
That may be true, but it wasn't clear to me that that was, in fact, undisputed at trial. That's what you're saying now, is
yes,
that there was
yes.
No dispute on that?
Well, my friend on the other side will likely dispute it, but the business, but we believe that the business records are undisputed. He might dispute that what Walmart's role in it and his opinion, but to answer the question of the distribution was done by Sunsea and shown by Walmart's business records.
And is it true that Walmart took title to the lamps at some point?
Only in the sense that once the product was picked up from Rancho Cucamonga after the sale happened, FedEx picked it up and delivered it to my friend on the other side and to 200 people. So when you say take title, it's only for risk of loss after it's been sold, after it's been distributed, such as if you're receiving something from FedEx or in the mail, who has the risk of loss? That's the only issue here with the sold and shipped by Walmart label, is that Walmart takes responsibility after the product has already left the third-party vendor.
But that all seems reasonable and maybe would persuade a jury, but why couldn't a jury read, you know, sold and shipped by to mean, like, you're actually the one selling it?
Well, Walmart, like Amazon, like a lot of these online platforms, they want to make sure the customer's happy. That's their first and foremost goal. So when they say sold and shipped by Walmart, that's merely for post-sale activities. That is for customer service, for returns. So these vendors took advantage of Walmart's ability to answer the phone if there was a problem with the delivery. So I think it's reasonable for a jury to understand that's how e-commerce works, that Walmart or eBay or Amazon, they're taking the they're taking on the risk of loss, and you can call them afterwards. That's nothing to do with a copyright analysis. And what most of this litigation was spent was regarding the Lanham Act claims and the unfair competition and the punitives, where my friend on the other side was trying to blame Walmart for the sold and shipped by label, which is just an automatically applied label. The listing also says manufacturers, suppliers, and others provide what you see here, and we have not verified it. So the listing itself is on Walmart.com, but everybody understands that it's being sold by various parties, including Walmart, including others. And here the records clearly say, and the jury should have understood, that Sunsy, they both displayed the goods, they uploaded the images, and they distributed. And so if I can move on to the fees. You talked about the Hensley analysis, and I think the court was right. In the last case, also about Walmart, of course, so it's not lost to me that the Hensley analysis governs here. And so we think, like in Lowry, the district court's disproportional award of 20 times the damages would be an outlier. Upholding it would be an extreme departure from established case law, including Hensley, including Lowry, and would not further the purpose of the Copyright Act.
Can you address our decision in Glacier Films? Because as I understand that case, we said that if you get something on each of your copyright claims, that counts as success. And it might be that what you got on each claim was small, but we want to encourage, you know, the Copyright Act wants to encourage people to bring those claims even when they're small in order to achieve deterrence.
Right. I played for people. They asked for $750 and they got $750. Like Judge Lee said in the last case, if you asked for $500, the jury would probably give you $500. So if that had been the case, that would have been one thing. But here, the plaintiff asked for, Ms. Russell asked for $850,000 plus punitives. So it's not like Glacier Films. They asked for $750 in Glacier Films. They got $750. 100% success. Here, there was only 10% success. $850,000 plus punitives, that could have been millions of dollars. So Walmart zealously defended correctly because they were faced with potential for millions of dollars. So Walmart should get credit here for its reasonable defense of defending that Walmart was not the party that caused the infringement, and that the sold and shipped by label is irrelevant to the copyright analysis.
I can just add to Judge Miller's question. I know you've cited Lowry, and I think Lowry's a great opinion, well-written, well-reasoned. But, I mean, it is a slightly different context, and that was on class action fees. And here are the copyright. We do, there are some interests. You know, class actions, maybe, I don't know if you can apply the exact same analysis for class action, even if it's a small damage. You can have the deterrent effect by seeking a class action to hold, you know, the other party accountable with copyrights. You know, generally, you can't do class actions. Maybe the damage is small, so, you know, there are some policy goals further in the Copyright Act, so, you know, courts, you can't be limited to just the amount of damage awarded because there's that kind of policy goal that courts can consider if they think it's an important one.
Right, and we agree that Lowry's a great opinion, of course. But we think here that the fees are so disproportional, right? $1.7 million in Lowry and $50,000 in the class action settlement. Here, $1.5 million in fees on 27,000 in actual damages, or 75,000 in statutory. There are different considerations in copyright law, but the court's decision in Lowry said it didn't apply to copyright cases. But Lowry cited all of the Hensley cases and all the Hensley line of cases, the Lennart Toys case from 2020, which is affirmed without opinion. C.E. Callett is directly on point as well. There, the plaintiff tried to say that they should get so many fees because the defendant had destroyed their business. Same is true here. Plaintiff sought $850,000 here and only achieved the $75,000 jury award because the plaintiff, Ms. Russell, claimed that Walmart had destroyed her entire business. So we think that while you're talking about Lowry and the benefit to the class, we think this is even more egregious here, where there were four lamps in issue, yet Ms. Russell claimed that Walmart had destroyed her entire business and they sought to litigate this case all the way through trial, and the jury largely agreed with Walmart. So we think that while Lowry, is a settlement of class action, here we went all the way through trial, and the jury largely agreed with Walmart. We won on 4 of the 5 claims completely, including all the claims involving the sold and shipped by label. All of those arguments were that Walmart was deceiving customers, deceiving the public. We won all those claims. We won on the punitives. So all that was left was 10% of a copyright claim, about 4 lamps. So respectfully, what we believe Lowry is very instructive here and helpful. We believe that under the copyright laws, such as Lennard, and under the Hensley line of cases that the court has referenced, all of the authorities help Walmart.
What would be the reasonable fee in your mind then?
Reasonable fee, we're not disputing that plaintiff prevailed on 5-10% of their claim and should get $75,000 to $150,000. I see that I'm into my time. Can I reserve it?
You may.
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Ruttenberg.
Ruttenberg.
Good morning. May it please the court. Guy Ruttenberg for Roxanna Russell. There are 2 appeals before the court. The first one involves the appeal, as far as I can tell, of the district court's denial of a Rule 50B motion. At least that was my understanding reading the opening brief. And as we explained, the court doesn't have jurisdiction to address the denial of a Rule 50B motion because under Federal Rule of Appellate Procedure 4A, there was no subsequent notice of appeal filed after that ruling. So it's not entirely clear what is being appealed that is a prejudgment ruling, but also to the extent we get beyond that, the district court found that Walmart waived its argument, its challenges to the jury verdict, at least with respect to infringement, because they did not challenge at the A stage, or for that matter, in their opening brief on the 50B motion, many of the bases for the verdict. Walmart, in its opening brief, did not address waiver. And in fact, Walmart waived the challenge to waiver, as we explained in our brief, because they didn't even address the argument. Even if we get beyond all of those things, the verdict is amply supported here. Despite what my friend on the other side says, this is a case where Walmart itself was selling lamps and posted images of my client's copyrighted photographs of her also copyrighted sculptural works to sell cheap knockoffs.
Do you dispute that the lamps, in fact, came from Sunsea and Rancho Cucamonga?
I think the lamps may have been manufactured by Sunsea, but in terms of who sold them and who posted them, what the evidence shows is Walmart has what it calls third-party sellers, 3P, and it has first-party sellers, 1P. And the evidence at trial, and for that matter before trial, was that all of these listings are 1P sellers. 1P sellers can be either a Walmart employee who posted it up or some Walmart agent that they hire that they call a dropship vendor who will create the listing. And the only 2 witnesses for Walmart who testified, both in cross-examination, admitted that they actually don't know whether these particular listings were created by a Walmart employee or a Walmart agent.
So that's about the listing, but the lamp itself, came from Sunsea's warehouse, and, it was the Sunsea person who put it in a box in Rancho Cucamonga. That's what your friend on the other side says the evidence showed, and that was undisputed. Did you have some evidence disputing that?
The evidence of that, in our view, was inconclusive as to who was the physical person that did that. They had 2 witnesses, and both of them ultimately testified that they don't know the answer, and they presented documents, and both of them ultimately said, we actually don't. We're not familiar with these documents. We don't use them in the ordinary course and can't interpret them, which is why the court said that the witnesses were repeatedly impeached and were not credible. Which is, so in terms of...
Right, but it's you're the plaintiff, right?
Right.
So if the answer is we just have no idea, that seems like that would mean that you lose, right? I mean, you have to prove or present evidence from which a rational jury could conclude that, it was actually Walmart that did this, right?
I have to prove that it was Walmart that did that.
Yeah.
I don't have to prove whether it was Walmart that did it through someone who is a 1099 as opposed to a W-2. In my view, it doesn't matter whether that individual was one or the other. Walmart is a corporation that acts through its agents. So whether Walmart did it through a woman that happens to be an employee or whether they did it through a contractor, that's not part of my burden of proof. What we did prove and what the jury accepted is that the evidence was that this was a 1P listing that Walmart itself created either directly or through a dropship vendor, that Walmart itself, even if it was a dropship vendor, in those contexts, as Your Honor pointed out, Walmart actually takes title to those items, and Walmart is the one that actually makes the sale to the consumer. Walmart also has a whole host of rules and regulations about how things are posted. They require pictures. They have supervisory role over those pictures, even if it's a DSV. And ultimately, Walmart couldn't tell us whether it was a DSV or an individual or not. From our perspective, either way, Walmart is liable.
Well, so now, I mean, since you brought up the pictures, I mean, our cases say that if all you're doing is sort of, you're running a website that people can put pictures on, you're not, there's not volitional conduct on the part of the person running the website. So what is the evidence that anybody at Walmart, or that Walmart did anything more than allow Sunsea to put pictures on the listing?
Well, I think this is different than a sort of typical case where you have a third party come in. Again, what Walmart says, according to their own contract, is you have either an employee or a contractor, who's a 1099 essentially, that will post it at the direction of Walmart on Walmart's behalf. And what your case law has said is when you look at these elements of the copyright claim, you look at agency principles and whether it's direct authority, because Walmart has said that this person that's posting on the website is our employee, or it's ostensible or apparent authority, or Walmart has said we're going to let this person hold themselves out as Walmart by saying they are sold and shipped.
So you're saying that as long as there's a contractual relationship between the person running the website and the person putting the pictures on it, that then anything done by the uploading person is therefore attributable to the host of the website under agency principles?
No. I'm saying as long as there's a contracting principle, as long as there's a contract where through the contract Walmart allows that person to hold themselves out as Walmart, that would be an ostensible authority. In other words, Walmart has marketplace sellers. There are different categories of 3P sellers where if you go on Walmart.com, you'll say, this is sold and shipped by maybe Sunsea, maybe somebody else, right? That's not these listings. These listings are sold and shipped by Walmart, and that means something. That means Walmart has used its goodwill and contractually said, we're going to let this person pretend to be Walmart. A user can't tell the difference. Even Walmart's employees who testified in trial said, we can't tell the difference whether it's a Walmart employee or a DSV. So that's very different than a third party that says, I'm just going to post. It's also different how the images are delivered, right? Because with a Walmart DSV, like a Walmart employee, all of the images are actually stored on the Walmart server and delivered by Walmart itself. Similarly, with the DSV, there are these...
That's true no matter whether it's a third party or... Right, I mean, it has to be stored on the Walmart server or else, that's what allows the customer to see it when they go to the Walmart website, right?
No, there's a difference between where a third party, in some of the cases, actually stores the website itself, but it gets redirected because of a link, as opposed to the images actually being delivered by Walmart itself.
And it's also, have we ever suggested that that makes a difference? Right. I mean, in Zillow, the pictures were on Zillow server, weren't they?
I think in Zillow, and I have to go back and look at this, I think it was actually, there was a link, and in some of the Giga News cases, there was a link. And I think the other difference here, of course, is Walmart itself requires these pictures, right? This is not a third party, like you look at YouTube and there's a content provider that's posted something to YouTube, and you can, same thing with the DMCA. You can say, hey, Walmart, take down the picture because company ABC has posted down our content. To everybody in the public, and again, even to the Walmart employees who testified, this appears as a Walmart 1P posting and listing. And so I think that's an important distinction.
I've taken up a lot of your time on this.
If I can ask a follow-up question.
Sure.
There's plenty of evidence introduced at trial that shows that Walmart has legal authority and right to reject postings, reject photos.
Right.
I mean, what was the evidence of
active volitional conduct by Walmart. I guess one of it you're saying is they allow them to be portrayed as Walmart, I guess is kind of what you were saying. Well, what else was introduced at trial that shows kind of the more active involvement of Walmart, as opposed to having the legal authority and right to intervene if it wanted to?
Well, I think it said that Walmart actually requires these postings to be, it actually says, when you're dealing with the DNCB, they have regulations, and we talked about it in the briefing, it says you actually have to put up pictures. You have to put up good quality pictures. We have the right to reject those pictures. You are our DSV in this context, right? So you are working for us contractually, and you're doing it in our name. So I think there's quite a bit of evidence of that. And again, ultimately, these are first-party listings, is what the evidence shows. That Walmart views these as its own listings. So I think that's quite a bit of evidence of volitional conduct. And I think that would be quite a departure if we will let someone say, you know, it's one thing to say that you need Walmart to be involved when there's kind of a forum, right? Like, whether it's YouTube or whether it's a marketplace where third parties are posting things on there, and Walmart, it's not on behalf of Walmart. This is a different category of products where these are on behalf of Walmart, with Walmart's employees deeply involved, and the only difference is this happens to be someone, if it was indeed a DSV, then it was someone that was contracted to act as Walmart in Walmart's name, as opposed to someone that was actually a W-2 employee of Walmart. And so that's even if we get to any of the merits, which I don't see how we do. But I do want to talk about the fees issues, because I think that's also very important. And I think on the fees issues, what we have here is a case that we have an artist that says, I'm looking at a Walmart page and I see my copyrighted pictures being used, my copyrighted pictures of my copyrighted sculptures being used to sell these knockoff products. And before she brings suit, right, we reach out to Walmart and we get all these excuses and, oh, that's a coding error, which ended up being false, or it's a marketplace seller, which ended up being false. And so we have to bring a lawsuit. And the suggestion that in the lawsuit we somehow, you know, sought millions of dollars in our complaint, that certainly wasn't true. And the district court actually addressed some of the damages theories. He didn't do it in the order itself granting fees, but incorporated his other opinions. And I think it's important to note that a lot of the damages that were sought, and this is why a copyright case is actually different, because the damages in copyright cases, on the actual damages, one of the biggest components, and in fact, in our case, the biggest component of the damages that were put up to a jury was disgorgement. And what the court said in disgorgement was, Ms. Russell is actually reasonable in seeking nearly $300,000 in disgorgement. Because, and this is from the MSJ order at SCR 235, and also in the Mill order at SCR 112, what the court said is, plaintiff attempted to isolate the amount of revenue associated only with the accused listings, but Walmart asserted that it doesn't keep the data. Plaintiff could not now be faulted for Walmart's failure to keep more specific data. And it goes on to explain the burdens. And so a lot of those damages were not because plaintiff came in and said, I'm looking for tens of millions of dollars. This is a plaintiff that said, I'm looking to vindicate my rights. And she tried to do that without filing suit. That didn't work. Similarly, the suggestion from my friend on the other side was that this involved only four lamps. That was hotly disputed at trial. What ended up happening is that there was never any concrete evidence as to how many lamps were actually sold. And, of course, regardless of how many lamps were sold, the images were also used on the website. And there was also a suggestion that somehow this was about, that the fees were about the Lanham Act. That's not supported by the record, and it's also incorrect. What the court said in the order, and it's a pretty detailed 16-page order explaining the fees, what the court said is that the reason the fees got to where they were was because Walmart put them there, because Walmart litigated issues and relitigated issues. And they didn't just litigate this issue of volitional conduct. They actually didn't even raise that issue until very late in the case. What they spent most of their time litigating, Your Honors, and this is clear from the summary judgment rulings, the motions in limine, even the trial, is they disputed the validity of Ms. Russell's copyrights, both the pictorial and sculptural works. They went and hired an expert to challenge the elements of infringement. Even after the court rejected their arguments, they kept litigating and litigating them. They rejected her. They disputed her authorship. There are instances within the summary judgment record where the court says that Walmart essentially fabricated this theory that somehow Ms. Russell had given had referred an inquiry to somebody else for licensing. None of that was true. And even after the court multiple times said these arguments are meritless, frivolous, have been rejected, Walmart said we're going to relitigate them at trial. That's detailed in the court summary judgment ruling. It's detailed in the motion limine rulings. It's actually detailed in the order granting fees. Now, I don't think Lowry is on point for the reasons that Your Honor pointed out. I think it's a class action case and it's specific to a class action case. But the court here did go through all of the factors in quite some detail and talked about what the overall success was. This wasn't a case where the plaintiff was looking for millions of dollars. That's not what this case was about. What the plaintiff was looking for was vindication of her rights. And the court said, nonetheless, because there was, the court first of all said that the Lanham Act claims were interrelated with the copyright claims. That finding is no one has challenged that. It's clear error. I'm sorry, it looks like my time is up.
Is there any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to quickly take up the issue of volitional conduct that Judge Lee raised, which I think is very important here. You saw my friend on the other side did not have any evidence that Walmart committed volitional conduct, engaged in any affirmative acts. Walmart's website just passively facilitates sales between third parties like SunSea and customers like my friend on the other side. So I think that his point is very well taken. Walmart certainly believes that the copyright infringement finding was incorrect and should be reversed. So I'd like to focus on that in my rebuttal time. I'm happy to answer questions about the fees, but I think we've already discussed that, the very limited success here. But on the copyright issue, Walmart did not upload the photographs. Nobody at Walmart uploaded the photographs. The trial evidence did not show that anybody at Walmart did that. Walmart actually never touched the photographs. Walmart never touched the products. The first time Walmart ever saw the lamps in issue was at trial. So Walmart had no involvement whatsoever. The trial transcript you will see from the record shows that Walmart was never involved. Suppliers do all the work. They supply all the imagery, all the content. And so I just should address that question. You heard from the other side, there's no volitional conduct by Walmart. They are merely a platform, just like Amazon, just like everybody else.
I mean, the little difficult thing about this case is this isn't just like eBay, where they're just hosting and people post whatever they want, and you know, eBay just takes a little commission here. I mean, here, as Judge Miller said, you know, they took title at a certain point. They set the price and collected the money. They did have all this legal right to intervene if necessary, and I guess they potentially, you know, told people it was from Walmart, shipped and sold from Walmart. I mean, is that enough for the jury maybe just to infer from all of this that Walmart had to have known more, been involved more?
We don't believe so that it was reasonable for the jury to infer that. That's a different situation of active involvement where, like Redbubble, where they're actually printing the T-shirts. It's different from the situation. These are just third-party sellers on Walmart. How the third parties decide to ship, they can ship either as a DSV or as a marketplace seller, the same vendor. It's just a question of how post-sale activities happen. So it has nothing to do with the copyright inquiry of displaying and distributing. Those are both the same, whether it's a third-party selling as sold and shipped by Mr. Ellman or sold and shipped by Walmart. It's the same. From Walmart's point of view, it's the same. They want their customers to be happy. It's simply where a third party does not have the customer service or return ability that Walmart steps in after the sale has taken place, after the infringing activity has taken place, that Walmart steps in to help a customer if they want to return the item. And one of these four lamps was returned. So to my friend on the other side's point about four lamps, it was conclusively established by records, and I'll tell you it's at ER 948, four sales. That's it. There's never a question. My friend on the other side, they spent a lot of money trying to prove there was more than four sales, but that's it. So we're talking about a $1.5 million fee award, where the jury largely got it right. They only awarded $27,000 actual damages because there's only four sales. So Walmart's meritorious defense is that they were not involved, they were not SunSea, SunSea was not their agent. Walmart had a contract with SunSea, or SunSea had to indemnify Walmart. Walmart never talked to SunSea, so they are completely a third party. So it is no different from any other case where something is sold on an e-commerce website. So we believe, it's in accord with all of those other cases that we cited, and Walmart should be protected by the DMCA. And we believe that we proved the DMCA as well, that Walmart has they have a repeat infringer policy. They recently implemented it here. Sunsea was kicked off the platform. And so we believe that on the contrary, on the merits, that Walmart should win. But the jury largely agreed with Walmart. They found for Walmart on all the other claims, including punitive damages, and only awarded 5-10% on the copyright. So I think I'm over time.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, both counsel, for their arguments. And the case is submitted, and we are adjourned.